Friends, please pray with me. May the words of God be ever on our minds, on our lips, and in our hearts. And may we use those words to do God's will. Amen. This summer at Lindale, we're reflecting on Sabbath. So you may be wondering why I chose a scripture about work. Maybe they didn't tell her. Maybe she doesn't know. I did know. I just think it's important to reflect upon because we've spent so long equating Sabbath with work. Or more specifically, equating Sabbath with not working. Maybe when some of us take a Sabbath, we don't go into the office, or we turn off our work phone, or we don't hang out with coworkers because no matter what they say, you know they'll talk about the office drama. And it isn't a bad thing, surely, to not work. But what does Sabbath mean for those of us whose day-to-day involves not working? What does Sabbath mean for those of us who, because of not working, already appear to be doing a Sabbath? In the parable we hear today, it's folks like this, folks who are not working, that the landowner is concerned about. He asks them, "Why have you not been working?" And they reply, "Because no one has hired us." We don't know why nobody hired them, but today we could imagine. Maybe they were black men and the employer was afraid of them. Maybe they were older women and the employer assumed their incompetence. Maybe they were trans and their employer hated them. Maybe they were undocumented and the employer refused to pay them a just wage. But maybe, just maybe, they were disabled, and the employer was not willing to put in the work needed to accommodate them. For so many disabled people, oftentimes, myself included, life can appear to be a Sabbath every day. Staying in bed, not working, not leaving the house for days at a time. I think of all of my beloveds with chronic fatigue, chronic pain, depression, anxiety, episodes of mania, or any other physical, emotional, or mental limitation for whom what we consider Sabbath might be daily, unending, exhausting, and miserable. So many of my disabled community cannot work, or more accurately, have been excluded from working. I think of a friend with limited vision who is an avid runner and mountain biker. His community has given him access to those activities, but his employer refuses to provide him with documents in the format he needs. I think of a friend who's about to have a baby who's on Social Security disability and cannot work because she'll lose her benefits, but who doesn't have enough money to survive without those benefits. I think of another friend who simply couldn't work for 6 years. And I think of myself and the jobs that I lost because my employer refused to provide me access to the work that I love. For those of us, and for all of us, what does it mean to take a Sabbath? I think we find an example in the landowner in this parable. His Sabbath, I believe, was a Sabbath from conforming to the societal expectations of his time. The expectation for him clearly was to compensate his workers according to their production. And isn't that what we expect to? Don't we all know those angry early morning workers who have put in the hard work in the heat of the day, who are angered when others get a handout, a free ride, or a hot meal, they remind us, paid for by their tax dollars? And yet this landowner refused to conform to the demands of that capitalist system. He refused to ascribe to the gospel of our economic system. He refused to ascribe to the gospel that our work is in our worth, and that our work comes only from our work. It's an understatement to say that the language of conformity is a hot topic issue in the disability community, because we hear language of conformity all the time. Oh, you can come to work. It will just make your depression work. You should just push through it because it's all in your head. Oh, you can walk. Just the walker makes it easier. You should just push through that pain. You can navigate this space using your white cane, but no one has shown you around the space. Never mind that. You should push through your discomfort. But when we, the disability community, unite and refuse to conform to the demands of society, when we hail the sacredness of understanding our bodies, when we worship who we are, even acknowledging our oppression, we can truly model what Sabbath is and can be for all. An act of resistance, of solidarity, and of glorious non-conformity. This is the model that the landowner follows in the parable today. He resisted the capitalist and societal demands and expectations through his shocking generosity. And Jesus said, "This, right here, is the community of heaven. This, right here, is the radical, offensive, and unreasonable justice of God." In a few moments today, we will celebrate communion, the sacrament in which we acknowledge that God's body and God's mind are radically different than most of our bodies, but they're radically similar to the bodies of those of us who are disabled. After all, God's body made incarnate in Jesus is certainly atypical. It is a body that both died and lives forever. It's a body that was born in a time and a place, but kind of always existed. It's a body that's simultaneously in heaven and in some way right now present among us. And in some ways we can understand that God died when God came out about their body being different. It doesn't get closer to a disability coming out narrative and saying, "Surprise, my body is God." Think about the arguments that people started with Jesus after he revealed the truth about his body at the Last Supper. People told him that his godness was blasphemy, that his honesty was simply a conversation starter, a quote launching point for greater conversation, as we heard in the confession from Crutches and Spice today. All of those reactions are common for disabled people. And all disabled people, myself included, have had this coming out moment. Coming out as disabled to our friends or our family, or God forbid, our bosses or our doctors or our grad school administrators who have the power to make our lives miserable. For me and for others like me with invisible disabilities, we have this coming out moment often. For others with more visible disabilities, they don't get to decide when and to whom they come out. But I can speak for myself. Coming out about my disability has been and continues to be far more dangerous than coming out about my queer sexuality. In communion and in the crucifixion and in the resurrection, we take time to understand that God is disabled. Both because of God's atypical incarnate body and because of the way that the world treated God. After all, the world refused to provide justice and access for a body like God's, and in fact executed God because of it. We think of all those with disabled bodies who are executed by the state, murdered by police, sentenced to the death penalty, killed by violence in state hospitals or solitary confinement. We remember especially those operating at multiple intersections of oppression, those who are disabled and also people of color, indigenous, undocumented, non-Christian, sex workers, queer, trans, non-binary women, and all those experiencing violence because of God's justice that we have failed to provide them. The late disabled theologian Nancy Island explores the concept of a disabled God in her 1995 book by the same name. I highly recommend that for further reading. However, today, as we reflect on our disabled God, the God of atypical bodies and minds, the God of bodily exclusion, we understand also that this politically disabled God is the only God we want to follow. Because we all know the God who has been politically enabled by the United States of America. The God who has been given seemingly limitless power by our government, our neighbors, and sometimes our churches. That God of American power, that God of politically enabled, is the God of borders, of prisons, of state violence, of white supremacy, and of all harm rooted in the Christian tradition. And we, as the good Christians, like to separate ourselves from that enabled God, and that's not wrong. But we have to understand that that enabled God comes from the same Bible we read, the same religion we profess, and that we too are descendants of that enabled God. But I don't want that God. I want the disabled God of justice that has been de-centered from our society. I want the God of the community of heaven, the community that, as Jesus says, is just access for all bodies and minds. I reflect today as we prepare for communion on the recent murder of Bill Peace, a longtime disability justice activist and scholar. Bill was the first person in a wheelchair to get a PhD from Columbia University. He did groundbreaking work on disability justice when so many of his disabled peers were excluded from the academy. And Bill was murdered recently by capitalism, by the healthcare industrial complex, by medical neglect. Bill was killed not by a complex and unknown medical condition, but from infected wounds. Wounds which in 2019 don't deserve to kill anybody. I was speaking to another dear and disabled friend this week, someone who was a close friend of Bill's, and I asked her what she thought he would think of this sermon. She said she thought his feelings would be complicated because the wounds that he received from religion, wounds that came from decades of Christians telling him that his disabled body was cursed, was a sign of sin, was the result of his lack of faith. Perhaps those were another type of wound which never healed. She told me, though, that there was another aspect of Bill's death which had been overlooked. She said that his wound care doctor was in the wrong, but that Bill was also stubborn. She said there were some concessions to the capitalist system he could have made that might have gotten him more treatment that would have cost him dignity. And so he refused to make them. Bill was killed in so many ways by the lack of respect, personhood, and justice provided for those of us who are disabled. And the wounds from which Bill died, the religious wounds, the physical wounds, and the wounds of the loss of dignity, are the wounds of Christ, the wounds of all disabled people, and the wounds whose blood we consume today, the wounds that become most intimately somehow ours, somehow part of our bodies. As Christ's blood joins with Bill's blood, joins with our blood, when we take communion and digest a more complete understanding of the pain of the world. The hardest part about preaching on oppression is the ending, because while sermons end, oppression does not. The end to oppression requires much more than a witty turn of phrase or a quick recap of the sermon. Oppression ends and can only end when we take a true Sabbath from conforming to the ways of the world, to the ways of capitalism, when we reject the narrative that our worth is in our work, when we come to understand that we are enough, and that you are enough, and that God is enough, and that we are enough, and that you are enough, and that God is enough. May we all feel the call to Sabbath from work or from exclusion. And may we acknowledge that when we do accept that invitation to true Sabbath, there is the community of God. And that is enough. Amen.